B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I want you to want me.
From the album Live at Budokan, Cheap Trick, and 98.5 The Sports Hub. I just looked it up. I always thought Budokan was like the name of a town. Budokan,
yep,
is just an indoor arena in Tokyo.
Oh.
That's all it means.
It's like the Ice Palace. What was that place you were just talking about?
I believe he was at the, he was heading into the Ice House.
Ice House, excuse me. So it'd be like the Ice House.
Right, right.
What
but I would
again?
I would never think the Ice House was the name of a town. Budokan.
Budokan.
Nippon Budokan. Often shortened to simply Budokan, is an indoor arena in Tokyo. So Cheap Trick Live at Budokan, there were just is like Live at the Garden.
Yep.
Right? That's all it is.
Sure.
Is it, I didn't know.
Live at the Coliseum.
There you go.
Live at the Budokan.
Live at Gillette. Like,
yep.
Rammstein will be later this year.
Yeah.
Have you heard the commercials for that, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Rammstein.
They were sounds of the game for Judd and Bob one night, I believe.
Oh! I'm sure they were.
Yeah.
A little cross promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sure.
I'd like to say I'm going to go, and I can't wait. I probably will go just
yeah.
to figure out how and why Rammstein is still playing arenas in 2020.
Well, big following.
Do they?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of deep cuts, Rammstein.
I mean, you could tell me Slipknot was playing Gillette, and I would have believed that before I believed that Rammstein was playing Gillette.
Well. There's Du Hast. They play that a couple different ways, I'd imagine.
And America, I believe, spelled with a K. That's another Rammstein song. Those are the only two I can.
Gotta be honest, I didn't know that one.
Yeah,
I'll have to download that on LimeWire.
Nah, we'll listen to it here during the show today. I tell you, who else can be playing at Gillette? Sometimes radio is so easy for me, and I don't know. I feel bad for people who can't do it. Like
right.
This.
Like some people, you can kind of see the hamster wheel turning a little bit. Like you, it was just so natural.
I tell you, who else can be playing a Gillette? If you believe some reports.
Or Willie.
Tom Brady.
Or Willie.
Looking more and more likely to be playing for the Patriots again this year. Oh, my God. More information. Tommy Curran, quick to point out, informed opinion.
Mm-hmm.
His is an informed opinion,
yep.
Tommy Curran. Not like a couple of slappies, you and I sitting here with just, here's what I think.
You've had your informed Brady news over there.
I've had informed opinions about Tom Brady,
uh-huh.
but Tommy Curran is careful, and he wears it, rightly so, as a bit of a badge of honor.
Sure.
He's not just talking out of his, whenever he's talking about his thoughts on Tom Brady. He has informed opinions. Their conversations over the past few days, this is my understanding of where things are. Negotiations will begin in a couple of weeks. I interpret that as during or immediately after the combine. By that time, Brady should have back-channeled his way to an understanding of what's out there. My understanding is that the Patriots aren't worried about other teams' financial pitches.
Mm.
That doesn't worry them.
Mm.
Their business with Brady revolves around the direction of the offensive personnel. Brady has the freedom to say, no, thank you. It's been great. Move on. But the specter of an historic 20-year run ending has added an air of solemnity. They're solemn.
Yeah.
I've never said that word out loud before.
Solemnity.
Solemnity. Solemnity.
Yeah. That last way you said it sounded right.
So does that sound like Brady's coming back to New England based on the latest thing that Tommy Curran has? How did you interpret what Curran wrote?
I mean, honestly, I found it to be interesting on a couple of different levels, not necessarily about whether or not he's coming back, but more the timeline to it, right? Like it's gonna fire up after Indy, and the pitch, at least from the Patriots standpoint, is gonna be, you know, less about finances. They're not concerned about other teams' finances because other teams have much more to spend than the Patriots do. It's really about what they can surround him with. And I also thought it was interesting that Brady's gonna have people coming to him. He's not gonna be going on a big tour. And if Brady does decide to sign elsewhere, that, well, the Patriots are going to want to prove him wrong. So I don't know that I took it as a report that you know, convinced me one way or the other where Brady was going to go. I just think there's some new details there and some new information about his timeline and when he could make a decision or at least begin to make a decision.
If you want Brady back in New England, then read Peter King.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Mike Reese said yesterday 80% he's going to be back. What did Peter King say?
I'll go against the grain and say my gut feeling is he'll settle on the Patriots. Seems the most reasonable solution to the Brady free agency dilemma. And he prefaces all of it by saying if Belichick has already decided he wants to start a new era, then, you know, throw this all out the window. And he brings up 32-year-old Andy Dalton.
Awesome.
As somebody he could...
What's up with that?
Started. Begin it. This is where and Peter King trying
like,
to
does Peter King like his agent or something like that? Does Peter King get all of his information from his agent? Or
I
something
don't know
like that?
Because it doesn't make any sense. He says
that
if Belichick wants to decide to start a new era, Belichick might want to begin anew with a quarterback he feels is good, cost significantly less. Oh, who's out there? 32-year-old Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots will probably have to pay a third or a fourth round pick for Dalton. He's got a year left on his contract, no future in Cincinnati. He's a quiet, intense, lunch-pail Texan who makes no excuses. And Dalton would embrace the Patriot ethos.
If you had to guess where Andy Dalton was from, like the picture's up there on the screen. If you had to guess, do you guess Texas? Does that scream Texas to you?
Dorchester.
That's what local
hair.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, what
red.
What it doesn't exactly scream tough talking, no nonsense Texan to me, but I you know. I don't know the man.
Other than Willie Nelson, can you name a red-haired Texan? And it's been a while since Willie Nelson had red hair, let's be honest.
A red-haired Texan.
I know that. Oh, I had like three of them last night when you were talking about this.
Yeah. Boy, egg on my face now.
No, he doesn't come across as
nope.
Lone Star-like.
No.
No, it's just... Okay, so if that's King playing his own devil's advocate there.
Also, that's what Bill wants, a tough-talking Texan? That's like his dream quarterback? Just there's some interesting stuff in that. Like, just that Peter King mentions very matter-of-factly, like, we should all know it.
Right.
He'd love Josh Beckett.
Yeah, right?
Oof.
Yeah.
If Brady...
No guff there.
If a Brady return is going to work, writes King, I think what has to happen is a summit meeting with Brady and Belichick, which, by the way, this is going to have to happen anyway. Whether it's going to work or not work, they're still going to have to get together at some point. I mean, you're going to have some kind of a sit-down. Yeah. And they've had these sit-downs before, reportedly between the owner and the coach and the quarterback.
Yeah.
Lovely dinner, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
I came away from my meeting with Brady last month, best guessing, Brady doesn't air family business in the press, that for him to return, the team around him is the most important factor. Team meaning his coaches and his offensive mates. Well, we know what the coaching situation is like there. It's going to look a lot like it did last year.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback, coach, or offensive coordinator for 13 of Brady's 20 New England seasons back. Belichick back. What if Brady makes it known he'd return if they signed one of the top two free agent tight ends?
Ooh.
Oh,
Hooper or Hunter Henry. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then a couple of free agent wide receivers.
Oh, these names are good. Get to all. Make sure you get to all the names, Hardy, because these are you want to hear as many receiving options as you can.
Okay.
These are good.
Well, King says, assuming Amari Cooper is too expensive. Can we assume that? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
But,
yeah.
For the sake.
Sure.
Maybe Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, maybe. Could have had him last year. Chose Mohamed Sanu.
And Chris Hogan.
I'm sorry, who?
Well, he's maybe you don't know football very well. He's talking one of the top two free agent tight ends and a couple of free agent wide receivers.
Yep.
All right. Emmanuel Sanders and Chris Hogan. some top-tier talent at the wide receiver position.
Nice. Nice. Can you imagine if they walked into a receiver pitch or a pitch with Tom Brady and they're like, hey, behind door number three is going to be your next wide, and Hogan pops out? And Brady's like, I'm going to the Chargers. I'm out.
Trying to, like, sync up the fog machine with Chris Hogan. And here you go.
Here he is.
Here he is.
Hey, number 15 on the uniform, number one in your hearts, Chris Hogan.
Who is that? Woo. Turn that thing off for a second.
Who is that?
Hogan?
Chris Hogan.
The guy who forgot how to catch footballs his last year here?
Right.
I like Chris Hogan.
Does Brady like him?
I don't know that Brady loves him.
I don't know that Brady's big on him.
Chris Hogan is
the reason. Lacrosse, I bet Bill loves him.
In Gronk's last big injury year, Chris Hogan is the main reason why you didn't miss Gronk all that much. He was out there and he became that de facto, not on paper, doesn't make sense, downfield threat. Mm. It was Chris Hogan. Mm. He was the guy.
Big AFC title game against Pittsburgh. That happened.
I'm a Chris Hogan fan. Even I will admit.
Not the greatest pitch.
Not the greatest pitch and not the greatest way he left the team. He wasn't one of those guys like, oh. Like, you could make that case for Danny Amendola.
Yeah.
Danny Amendola came through in the clutch in the postseason for you, and then he was gone.
Yep.
Did Chris Hogan?
No. Well, he had the one catch against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, right? He had a pretty big catch on that drive, I thought.
Yeah, a huge AFC championship game against the Steelers.
So that he did do. That I recall. Yeah, he didn't do much in Carolina last year, from what I remember. Didn't seem like he was doing much with the Panthers last year.
So this is where... This is where Peter King and Tommy Curran stand on the issue. Tommy Curran talking about the timeline and how it's all going to go down. How do you think it's going to go down? You know, we keep talking about this, you know, the either the visits, Brady going to visit, will people visit him? How do these actually play out? I want to hear your scenario on this, Jones. Mm. Like how this is actually going to take place, if it's going to take place at all, or if Brady is just going to, you know, make his decision and tell everybody thanks, but no thanks. I know what I'm doing here. And feel free to chime in at 617-779-0985. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and Jones and McCone, all taking care of it. And once again, please join us here, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Come together for the meeting of Brady and the... Okay. Is it always a reason? Jim Lout doesn't do anything without a reason, right?
Sure.
It's like the Russians in Hunt for Red October. They don't, you know, they don't take a... without a plan.
Right.
He needs...
Measure twice, cut once.
Everything means something.
Yep.
So, congrats, by the way, Jim. Let's focus in on this whole Tom Brady free agency thing. I never believed that he was going to go visit teams. He was going to go from facility to facility, go from here to Tennessee and spend a day there and then go from Tennessee to Las Vegas.
Why not?
And spend some time.
Time consuming.
I think it's beneath him. I think he's beyond that. I think he's played in all these places. I think he knows all these people and yeah, the whole time and the, and the hassle and the trouble of flying from place to place, which, you know, isn't you or me. You know, he's not flying JetBlue, which is delightful. You put me on a JetBlue flight, and I am happy as a pig in it. But for Tom Brady, air travel is probably a little easier.
Sure.
Even easier than that, if you could imagine. I don't think he's going through the motions of even doing that.
You don't think he wants to get a feel for, like, I don't know. Even if you know somebody, you don't want to see how they pitch you and... what the facility's like, and you don't want to see any of that. You don't want to experience any of that. You just want to do it in a bubble.
I think if it comes down to a team or two, I think the most important thing for Brady is, who am I playing with for how long? And I will put for how much as a distant third. Who am I playing with and for how long? Okay. Those are the two things that I would feel Tom Brady is most concerned with at this point. And this is my informed opinion based on those who have spoken with him and reported as such, Peter King, Tommy Curran, all that stuff. Mm. Who am I playing with and for how long?
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I'm playing with a bunch of guys that I can replicate pretty much anywhere for 1 year. That doesn't interest me as much as if I have it set in my mind I'm playing for 2 more years and I want to have some people around me. I can figure that out without having to go to your facility. And to me, this is how it plays out. You think he's actually going to take visits and go around and
no,
meet with people?
Well, I no longer do. I kind of thought he did, but then Curran writes, you know, he's heard that we shouldn't be expecting the Tom Brady free agent tour 2020 coast to coast with the GOAT. If Brady hits free agency, he may try to set up meetings at one location instead of creating a circus. I mean, he says may. There's a qualifier there, but it sounds like he knows that's what Brady's going to do. Curran says, that's what I'm hearing, so take it for what it's worth. So Tom Brady's going to have the people come to him like he's Kevin Durant in the Hamptons. You know, like he's John Tavares. Where did John Tavares hold up and do his free agency a couple of years ago? Or I know hockey players aren't like basketball players, but that was a hockey player acting like a basketball player. This would be Tom Brady acting like he's an NBA superstar. And I do wonder if he's going to have the people come to him like he's Kevin Durant in the Hamptons. I wonder if the Celtics are to blame if Tom Brady leaves, Hardy. You know why I say that? The Celtics.
No.
The Celtics brought Tom Brady along on their pitch to Kevin Durant, didn't they? They brought him to the Hamptons.
Tom Brady and Kelly Olynyk, yes.
Yeah. They brought Olynyk. That was a questionable decision. I think Brady, we all thought, was a home run, though, right? They brought him down to the Hamptons. They showed Tom Brady how an all-out free agency pitch can go. Not just their own pitch, but all the bells and whistles that go along with it. The sucking up, the foot kissing, all of that, right?
Yeah.
The boot licking that goes on. And maybe Brady got a little bit of a taste for the finer things. He said, oh, this is how it can go. I see. I don't have to go to facility after facility after facility. The people can come to me. So
you think Tom Brady needed the Celtics and the Kevin Durant free agency visits to show him how the finer things in life are?
No. The finer things of this pitch, though, yeah. Who in the NFL gets pitched that way? Who really before Durant in professional sports got pitched that way?
Stan the Man in Mexico.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Who?
Well, Stan Musial.
Oh, Stan Musial, yeah. Right over my head.
Yeah.
Shame on, it's a callback. Shame on me.
They really rolled out the red carpet, though.
They brought him back.
Oh, my God, the food, the spread. Ugh. Oh.
Impressive. Hey,
you like empanadas? How do you feel about mariachi?
I hope you don't, because you're coming back to the Cardinals. I wonder if Brady being exposed to that sort of free agency pitch, and I say it somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but I also say it somewhat wondering, like, did that open Brady's eyes to how this could go? Brady said, boy, if I ever reach free agency, this is what I want. But I want to be wined and dined, and I want to have the teams come to me, and I want to be the center of the universe. This ain't so bad. Look how Kevin Durant's living right now. If I ever hit free agency, that's what I want. It sounds like from reading Curran, that's what he wants. He wants people to come to him.
How do you wine and dine Tom Brady in a manner that he is not already accustomed to? Who do you bring into the room? What do you feed him that is going to make him and take notice?
Is Tom Brady normally in charge in New England?
No, but he's in charge.
Okay, he's an employee. He'd be in charge of this. So I get to do whatever I want.
So they
and
say
all
to him,
these powerful people in the league have to come genuflect to me.
So you say to Tom Brady, if you want a taste of what it's going to be like to be in charge, set up whatever you want for this meeting. You call all the shots. I mean, you can't do it that way.
Of course you can. You start calling all the shots. You can negotiate what you want with another organization. It's probably not going to happen here.
The meeting itself, though, people talking about he's going to be wooed, he's going to be wined, he's going to be dined. You know, how do you impress Tom Brady?
I just told you.
What, by telling him he's going to be in charge?
Yeah, give him more say with another organization. Yeah,
yeah.
This is the beginning of Tom Brady getting say and having power. This is the beginning of it.
Quarterback / director of personnel.
I don't know about that.
It's not going to happen.
I don't know if it's that overt, but you can say, "Hey, Tom, we're going to consult you on personnel decisions." Yeah,
I don't think you're going to be able to impress him that easily. I don't think you're going to be able to impress him by telling him you're going to be able to sit in with coaches and pick players, because I don't know that it's necessarily Tom Brady's wish.
You just said one of the things he wants the most is who he's going to play with.
He wants it in place.
Yeah.
I don't have time to sit and scout people.
I don't have
time to sit and look at tape.
You don't think
I'm worried about me.
You don't think he wants to say?
I think he wants it in place. I think he wants the situation to be perfect and him to step into, and he can focus on him, which is what he's been very good at for 20 years here. He focuses in on himself, and he wants the personnel and the talent already in place so that he does that. I don't want to do any work to find these guys. I don't want to necessarily.
I mean, it sounds like he was doing work last year. He picked out Sanu. He wanted Antonio Brown back. If he had any say whatsoever, Antonio Brown would have been playing last year. So
Brown's an easy one. If you're willing to deal with the crazy, there's no work that needs to be done. The talent is evident.
But it wasn't easy last year. I think Brady wanted him on the field. He couldn't get him on the field. If Brady had some say and some influence and some power, maybe he would have been on the field.
And
maybe that opened Brady's eyes.
And maybe now he realizes, careful what you wish for. Yeah, I did a little work and I did want Sanu and it didn't work out all
that's
great.
That's a fair point.
So what do I want? I want legitimately good, skilled players that any idiot can see. This is what, for a quarterback like me, that's what's in place.
Sometimes when you leave it up to other people, it doesn't get done. Sometimes when you leave it up to other people, they cut corners or they focus elsewhere on the roster or they do X instead of Y and you get left holding the bag, which is how Tom felt last year.
And it's
get on board with it, Hardy. If Brady leaves, blame the Celtics. Just get on board with just get on board
with
it.
All right, you convinced me.
If Tom Brady leaves, the Celtics showed him that pitch to Kevin Durant, and the Celtics are actually to blame for Tom Brady leaving the New England Patriots. Just get on board with that. It's not that hard to get on board with.
It's
not that unreasonable.
Right. It's not that it's unreasonable. It's that it makes no sense whatsoever.
It makes a lot of sense.
In any world that
you honestly don't think Brady was influenced whatsoever by going down to the Hamptons and seeing how Durant was getting pitched?
I would love to do a little improv here with you and keep saying yes and keep agreeing with you. So I can't.
You don't think that influenced
Brady
him at all?
Tom Brady went out with the Celtics to pitch Kevin Durant.
Not to blame the Celtics part. You don't think the actual pitch influenced him whatsoever?
No. And here's why.
You don't think he looked at it and said, wow, football players should be treated like this. The best players in football should be treated like NBA All-Stars.
Tom Brady's...
Why do NBA All-Stars get treated this way and superstars get treated this way when football's a million times bigger than basketball? You think I had no impact on him?
Tom Brady already has that life. He already has that situation. And I'll give you an example. He's got an A-list Hollywood star talking about him. And essentially supporting him because this is who he hangs with already. Do you know who it is? Don't say it. Don't you dare say it. It's a tease.
I don't.
An A-lister talking about Tom Brady. We'll hear it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You said that you spoke to Tom Brady last night. What can you tell us as we are 1 month to the day from free agency beginning in the NFL?
I did see Tom Brady last night. Tom Brady is as close to a human being as I worship on this world. From Boston, so it's always a treat and a joy to see him. And he's a prince and a kind guy and a really sweet, sweet man and just the greatest football player who's ever lived, and I don't know who could ever possibly deny that. Me and Matt texted him and said, what's the deal? You going or are you staying? And this is what we got back, an emoji.
I don't want to say anything about the way Ben Affleck sounds. He's got stuff in him.
Yeah.
You wonder. Anyway. One day at a time. I don't know. I'm not taking anyone's inventory here. I'm just saying, you know. Ben Affleck talking on Get Up. Mike Greenberg on ESPN. The emoji that he was describing was the hands up in the air.
Shrugging emoji. So
when he and Matt Damon, do you think it's like a group text, the three of them on
it? Well, so this is what I was,
by the way.
What are they, the McCourties? They share a phone number? they have to text them together? Like, that's weird, isn't it?
But it's kind of cool, though, that you would think, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck are friends. Maybe they are to the point where they do group texts, as kind of like the two of them other guy.
I didn't think group text makes a lot more sense.
Group text makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And this is why I say Tom Brady is not going to be impressed by anybody. So he gets a group text from Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. So you can understand.
Tom Brady is as close to a human being as I worship on this world.
Okay, don't. It's Jim. He's got things.
You can be friends with that.
I know.
You don't need to be wined and dyed. Good point, Hardy.
Doesn't have the integrity.
Okay. Would you stop? Guy's dealing with stuff, all right? Jesus.
I knew what he meant.
By the way, that new Ben Affleck movie.
Oh, I heard you and Rich talking about it. I hadn't even seen the way you sold it made me want to go see it.
I think he's a basketball coach.
Yep.
And I think he's got to coach a bunch of kids that maybe aren't, you know, the favorites to win anything.
Yeah. Kind of hard scrabble.
My gut tells me they might win. Let me tell you something.
But what if they don't?
Well, they're going to learn something in the process. Maybe there are things more important than winning. I don't know. Emoji.
I didn't even think about that. Huh?
I just watched Argo again the other day. What a movie. Oh.
Argo.
Yeah. Affleck. Anyways, this is my point. Tom Brady doesn't need to be wined and dined. He's already got celebrity friends texting him. He's not reaching out to anybody. He's not going to be impressed by anybody. Oh, what if you bring the president? He's already friends with the president.
There's nothing you can do that's going to woo him and wow him.
And if you say let him pick the players again.
There's no individual. No, but it's just the whole, you're doing something that doesn't happen in the NFL. Why? If I were Tom and I went to that pitch for Kevin Durant, I'd say, why isn't this the norm with football players?
I'll tell you why.
Why does this happen with basketball players and not with football? We're a million
because
times
football
more
players never get to this point. When's the last time a franchise quarterback still playing close to his prime?
Probably Peyton Manning.
Probably left. But you can't even make that. Peyton Manning had a broken neck. Peyton Manning.
Yeah, Peyton Manning was highly sought after, though. Peyton Manning went on a bunch of visits, but he didn't have people come to him.
He didn't have people coming to him because there was still a big question as to whether or not he could play.
So Tom can do that.
And you don't. And I would argue Peyton Manning really couldn't play all that well anymore. He had a good season in Denver, but during the Super Bowl run, he was a steward. You know, he was a game manager.
Yeah, no,
go out there and don't screw it up.
The year
guy.
They won, he was terrible. The years before that, I mean, he was pretty good.
He was pretty good, but it was not a foregone conclusion. Right now, most people would conclude that Tom Brady is going to go out next year and be pretty good.
Well, I don't know about that. That's a foregone conclusion now, 43-year-old Brady. Looked pretty good last year, didn't he?
I think he would play it about as well as he could with the personnel around him, which is why the personnel is a big issue with him.
Debatable.
Ben Affleck not done talking about Tom Brady.
He talks
Brady.
About the personnel around him, too.
He talks about the personnel. He talks about all this stuff. He's got A-listers already talking about
him,
Jones.
Sorry.
Look, you know, I hope he stays. I think he's fabulous. By the same token, he has given up a lot of money to play for that franchise over the years that he well deserves. The New England Patriots didn't sacrifice any money winning all those Super Bowls, selling all those tickets, selling all that merchandise. If Tom, I pray and hope that he stays. It would break my heart if he left, but I would respect the fact that he wanted to go, you know, there was that rumor he wanted to play for San Francisco. There was if he wanted to play back home, and if he wanted to go make X million for 2 years, he totally deserves it. I mean, you know, that's what capitalism and life is about. Like, you're the greatest, you deserve it. He sacrificed a lot, he took a lot of cuts. They still didn't surround him with, I mean, they were definitely an Antonio Brown away from winning the Super Bowl this
definitely.
Year for sure
definitely.
The one game he played, it was for just sure. Lights out, you know. And they've never been super great at surrounding, except for the Randy Moss year, of course, when they broke all the records. And if he had a receiver like that, I think you'd see 8-9 Super Bowls, you know?
With what you know about Tom and the way that you know him, do you think there's a part of him that wants to prove that he could do it without Bill Belichick?
He has not said that to me. And I have asked him quite a bit about Bill Belichick. Because Bill Belichick is an easy guy to develop opinions about. But if it were me, if I were Bill Belichick, or if I were Tom Brady, there would be a part of me that would be wondering, like, is it him? Could I do it myself?
You know what he sounds like?
Yeah, I know what he sounds like.
What do you think he sounds like?
He sounds like somebody like kind of hosting radio for the first time. You know, just like, you know, like you kind of get out there and when you're first like when you're first kind of talking into the ether and you're like, oh, boy, I know what people are thinking. And you're like trying to like prove the counterpoint to your own point.
Buckshot.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything's just kind of out there. But also you're like. Correcting your own point before anybody can like give you any pushback on it. You're already like, now I know what you're gonna say. Like, you think I think this, but I actually think that, and I understand your counter. He's trying to get in front of everything. It sounds like that. He sounds like he's hosting a radio show for the first time.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
That was nine. I think he said nine Super Bowls for sure. I think.
I wish him the best. I really do.
I just hope that basketball team wins.
Do teams?
I mean, they were definitely an Antonio Brown away from winning the world, the Super Bowl this year, for sure.
For sure.
Do teams generally sacrifice a lot en route to a Super Bowl championship year?
For sure.
Because he said, you know, what have the Patriots sacrificed in winning all these Super Bowls?
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you want them to? I don't understand the point.
And draft picks during Spygate and Deflategate.
Million dollars.
Probably Spygate 2.0.
The New England Patriots didn't sacrifice any money winning all those Super Bowls.
At least a million. At least.
We don't know from the next one yet.
Yeah, well, I don't want to. They might want to plan for that.
For sure.
Get a 529 going for that.
I don't want to get too deep into what Ben Affleck is talking about because if he could have a take back on that segment, he might take back some of the stuff.
I thought it was pretty good.
He's talked to Tom Brady more recently than anybody has. So.
Yeah.
It's true.
What do you want the team to sacrifice?
Besides the draft picks.
Well, the six Super Bowl championships, to me... And this is the tough pill to swallow if you're Tom Brady, or I think it's fair to call Ben Affleck a Tom Brady supporter. If you're Tom Brady or a Tom Brady supporter, well, maybe they didn't sacrifice anything, but they did everything they had to do to win six Super Bowl titles and to go to the game nine times. I mean, what would you want them to do differently?
Bring back Brown, he said. Then they would have won for sure.
Do you want to break this down anymore? I don't know. Well, we're going to wait. We're going to talk to Shaughnessy. And we're going to talk. What?
I'm not going to say.
we're going to talk to a man who can hold his drink, at least as far as I know.
Okay.
You know, Dan will have,
Would you have him over to the house for beers like Louth?
Dan will have three fingers of scotch before, he takes his morning mile run.
Yep.
You have
the scores of the football games on that thing by any chance?
Never tell from his voice, but we'll talk to Dan about what's going down in spring training. We'll get back to the Brady thing at noon. How's that?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub. It's time for news from the fort.
How do they know about the penis and Cracker Jack?
The penis and what?
Peanuts.
Peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Peanuts.
Ooh, clean it up, son.
is some really quality lo-fi production. I like this. Yeah, it does, not everything has to be pew, 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 pew. Boom, did, boom, did, boom. That's fantastic. All right, joining us, news from the fort, Dan Shaughnessy. You're on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Dan, did you enjoy that?
I did. It was a good clip there. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, well, you're very much welcome. Your former co-host is here us today, Adam Jones.
The Adam Jones Show.
Yep. That's right.
That's what they call it now.
Dan, we started off the program today talking a lot about that press conference yesterday. You had you were really holding court there at the beginning of it. How did it play out? I first want to ask you, what was the mood like leaving the room as you guys all got a chance to talk to each other after it all went down?
Yeah, I just wanted to get out of there. It was an awkward time, and I mean, no one wanted to sit near me, that's for sure. So it was just, there's never been anything not awkward with this crew. And on so many levels, it just was, I mean, I guess John reading the statement was certainly well-intended, and, you know, he worked hard on that. But again, the low talking thing became an issue because like no one could hear. And, but I saw a transcript later, so I was able to piece it together. And then, the Q&A, I didn't think there was anything about that made fans feel any better. And their intentions to address it, we appreciate that. And they got out in front of it and answered questions. And we were certainly not, held back from asking questions, which I appreciated. It's just that I'm just not buying so much of this stuff that it's not a salary dump, that it's not about the CBT, that it's a trade about value and talent. And I mean, please, we weren't born yesterday, and it's just an awkward thing. And then poor Sam, you know, it was hard seeing Sam start selling tickets to the middle of that thing. It was not good.
So why don't you think they take ownership of it, Dan? Is it purely because they're worried about not selling tickets and people not being down there? Like we've heard and seen the numbers. Your colleague Pete Abraham tweeted out the numbers of who's there and who's not there compared to past spring trainings. Is that why they refuse to take ownership of it? Because they know the truth, how bad that looks and how they may lose fans this year and lose people watching Nesson and walk-ups to the ballpark and everything like that. Is that why they refuse to take ownership of it?
I mean, you know, they know what they have. They have the ballpark, and they have the built-in constituency and the older people and like that. But they know what's slipping away as well, and they know people are mad. But I just think that they underestimate the fan base and the people back home that they can take it. You know, if you just say, look, here's what we're going to do. But this notion that it just doesn't feel like they're leveling with you, and it feels like it's insulting your intelligence a little bit. And I think that's a hard thing. Our fans are too savvy. They know what's going on, but it's a very tough sell. Again, you come and root for payroll flexibility and welcome to the trop by the Charles. I mean, it's just not a selling point.
Dan, out of the two statements they made yesterday, I think it's a 1-2 punch for which is the most dishonest. How would you rank them? Was it John Henry saying that they got substantial and significant value for Betts and Price, or was it when they talked about getting under the salary cap being a goal, not a mandate? I can't decide which one is more disingenuous.
Yeah, those are hard. And like to the latter point, I mean, he said it when he said it in September, and then he kind of tried to roll it back, but then they behaved as if it was a mandate. Their actions tell us that what he originally told us is what they're doing. And that's okay. Just stand by it. But instead, it's got to be repackaged and put out with these phony messages that this was they were going to do this anyway, and it wasn't. They're trying to get, you know. I mean, Tom Warner's talking about 17 years of control of three guys that nobody knows or cares about, and they're not top Dodger prospects. I mean, we don't know what Downs is going to be. Wong's not a prospect, and obviously Verdugo has some talent, but he's just got baggage all over the place and a fractured back. I mean, and you just traded the former Cy Young winner and the MVP. I mean, it's just goofy.
Do you think yesterday there's anything that, looking back on it, because a lot of the focus was on the CBT and the trade itself, do you think there's anything else that maybe got overlooked in that press conference? And the reason I ask, you just brought up Verdugo. Like, I do think they, I don't want to say skated, but I think because there was so much focus on everything else, I think they they didn't have to answer for Verdugo quite as much as I thought they would.
No, there was so much to do, and the whole cheating scandal and all that stuff, too, where the, that's going to play out. But, yeah, I thought with the Verdugo thing, and, you know, again, Sam said that we support him. I just, I don't know. I'm not sure I wanted to hear that. It felt a little tone deaf. It's good to support your players, but I just, they don't seem to know as much about this guy as people have found out. And Alex Spears done some really good legwork on this, and you're going to see more of that. The teams weren't taking him, and the Dodgers were trying to move him, and nobody take him. Not nobody, but other teams were scared off by some of the stuff. And we'll see how this is going to play out. So I thought that was all relevant to the overall tough tone of it thing. But there was so many things in there that you could pick apart, and I didn't have that much space to. I got as many of them in there as I could today.
All right, Dan, you know, back to this investigation, which everyone seems to have like some idea that, oh, the punishment isn't going to be that bad. You know, we hear reports dribbling out here for the last couple of weeks, but still no final investigation. Is there a timeline on this thing? And have you heard anything in terms of, you know, what the final decision for Major League Baseball is going to be on the Red Sox?
Well, the latest, you know, they were end of next week. They're supposed to have something. And that's certainly like 3 or 4 weeks later than Manfred said 3 or 4 weeks ago when he talked about doing it before spring training. Guys have told us that they've been spoken to and been interviewed for it. I think that the early notion that they were going to get broomed and be found clean, nothing to see here. I think that the team that gets investigated on the heels of the Astros, you don't want to be that team. This is really bad luck for them. I mean, I don't think any of the other teams in Major League Baseball could withstand the scrutiny that's going to happen to the team that gets investigated after the Astros, after what just happened. And the Sox, unfortunately, are that team. So look out below in this. They weren't cheating anywhere to the level of the Astros. I'll never believe that. But I don't think they were doing nothing. It's hard. It's impossible to believe. They were doing the Apple Watch thing in 17 on John Farrell. Cora comes from Houston in 18, and they win 119 games. And they're going to be told that there was nothing going on. Every team had something going on then. Unfortunately, they're the ones being investigated, so they're going to get something, and it'll be unfortunate, but it will not rise to the level of Houston, in my view.
Well, didn't we get the indication from Manfred, too, when he said they got to reinvestigate people and some things, and I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but some things have popped up, or however he phrased it, we need to reinvestigate some people like that? That doesn't seem like a good omen for the Red Sox.
Right, and I noticed, I thought that with guys were backing off a little bit. Moreland and Sale weren't quite as adamant as JD and Devers were last week, and I think nobody wants to get caught in too much of a affirmative statement there with what it might be. And Buster only told me that, you know, they keep coming back to certain things in this investigation. I don't know what they are, but it's there's a lot of people to interview, and Manfred is in such a bind now. The notion that he was going to broom this thing for them and do the bag job, too many people suspected that, and I think that's off out of play now.
All right, Dan, we appreciate it. Everything all right down there? You sound kind of subdued. I'm a little worried about you. Everything okay?
Oh, no, man. This is a good time down here. Our weather's way better than yours, and I'd kind of like to get back to writing about baseball. There hasn't been a lot of ability to do that. I mean, they're pitching. What's the status of their rotation? That kind of thing. We need you start giving you more of that, because it's really those are really good baseball questions that are going to play into a big part of this season. But we've just been caught up in so much of this muck in the first 7 or 8 days. It's been a lot.
All right, well, I thought maybe it was too warm for you yesterday. I know how you hate summer weather, but okay, as long as you're all right, that's all we care about. Thanks, Dan.
I appreciate it, Hardy.
Okay,
thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Dan Shaughnessy there joining us from the fort, as we say.
Yep.
All right,
you thought he sounded a little too overheated, maybe.
That production intro to bring him in, again, admittedly lo-fi and not the same type of energy, but he just fed off that vibe.
Yep. But you know, at some point, just like John Henry, Dan Shaughnessy was just a baseball fan growing up and just liking, you know, rooting for his equivalent of Stan Musial, whoever that was. So he just wants to get back to the baseball. Dan's tired of reporting on all this nitty-gritty, this bad for baseball. He wants to talk fifth starter.
I'm glad you brought up Stan Musial. We're actually going to talk about that a little bit more. Oh. More about the Red Sox press conference. And Tim McCone has quarterback news in his headlines right now.
What?
Yes. 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.